Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Unexplained and strange noises can oftentimes have rational explanations. Loose shingles, heavy winds, small animals that have broken into the attic. But what do you do when those noises seem to be caused by ghosts? Do you truly want a deeper explanation when that may be the real case?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person that supports the show. You get bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. Some of our best episodes. In fact, right now, the EPP episodes for the last couple of weeks and wrapping up right here before we get into October. Is the first listen to our audiobook, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, meaning you guys get to hear it before anybody else. We've broken it up into a handful of episodes, and it's all up there, and it's good. It's some of our best ghost stories, some that have never been heard before. In fact, right when we're done recording this episode, I have the last piece to record, and I actually have a brand new Oscar story that is in there, so I'm excited.
So you're almost done doing the audiobook.
I am.
You've been putting that off for years.
You have. Put it nicely, why don't you? I mean, it's one of those things that I don't know. Putting it off, I guess, is probably somewhat accurate. But it's like I've been wanting to do it. It's more so haven't had the time. Uh-huh. To do it. It's always been like, I want to get this done. I got to get this done. But I thought, you know what? Before Halloween, before October season is really what I'm saying. I want to have this thing wrapped up. And I thought, hey, what a better way to do it than breaking it into some EPP episodes. Then everybody there can hear it first. Mm-hmm. And I can get it done in the time I normally would be doing that. And it's like, this is a win-win.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be a great way to kind of lead into to Halloween season. So there we go. It's okay. A good book, by the way, if you ever want to read a book. I don't think I've actually read the book myself.
No, you have. You've just read it in pieces. And
I read it when I was building it.
Yeah, and put it together.
I've never gone back and then read the book, like sitting down after it was completed. But it's kind of, I don't know that I would. I mean, it's like after we do a show, I don't go back and listen to the show. Certainly, yeah. I was a part of it. I have heard the show. Mm-hmm. I just don't go back and listen to the show.
Sure.
Unless I need to for some whatever reason. But yeah, I don't know. But
yeah,
it's a good book. I would like it if I didn't know me.
Well, there you go.
I really would. If I was just, and I'm not just saying that because it's been a couple of years since we put it all together. And I'm just like, these are good ghost stories. Like, these are really good. And if I was just out there and like looking for a good ghost book, I'd be a fan of our book. So, and I'm not trying to be, I'm just kind of coming from the perspective of I forget everything. I forgot a lot of details of these stories. So a lot of it really kind of, I mean, I knew like roughly, but yeah. The in detail was like, oh, that was a great one. Mm-hmm. There's one about this. I just finished one right before we started doing this episode. And it was, and you remember everything. So I know none of this is like shockingly new for you, but there was a story about a gentleman. See, I've already forgotten, and this was 20 minutes ago.
Is this they saw the car accident?
Yes.
And it haunted them?
Yeah. So it's a kid and his family in a car, and they come across a car accident. They're trying to get the guy out of the car. It doesn't work. He's stuck in there. He burns alive. Horrible, horrible thing to have witnessed. Several months later, in the new house that they're in, this kid starts to see this figure in his room. Eventually, after many nights of seeing a figure, it reveals itself as the guy from the car accident. And holy shit, the detail it goes into. Probably one of the best descriptive paragraphs that has ever been written into this show.
Yeah.
It's what came to mind to me was the scene in Indiana Jones where the guy gets the wrong chalice and then he slowly melts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like that. Or the cab driver on Ghostbusters. just like, oh God, that was in such detail. You could just see it and it was just disturbing.
That was a Jesus story. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's a lot of good stuff in there. If you're not an EPP yet, become one. Enjoy binging away on those as we get into the Halloween months. And then we get into back to just completely regular EPP episodes that are not based on the book as we enter into October. But it's a little treat for you, a little diversion from the typical EPP episodes, but still just as good. And I think in many cases better just because it's such good, good stories that have just been, you know, so curated and the wording just massaged down to be just perfect. So anyway, check it out. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/real ghost stories. I have to read the intros yet. I didn't do that part.
Okay.
So I'm going to do it in your voice.
Really?
Do you want to read yours? I'll need you to do it like quick. You want me to read for you? I'm going to read your part. No, I'm not going to read it in the voice.
My intro?
Your chapter.
My chapter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so you're not like weirded out if like you're, because Jenny's office and desk is like on the opposite wall of mine and she can hear me reading in here quite often. And so you're not like, why is he reading like what I wrote out loud? That's what I'm doing.
No, go ahead and read it.
Okay. I just wanted to know. So, okay. And that will be in the full release of the book when it comes up. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I'm going to do it in your voice.
That'll sound ridiculous.
It will. It'll be great. Okay. Let's go to our first story today. I've been written in at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's the wrong music. That's not, I need something a little more laid back. Thank you. There we go. And that was me. I don't know why I'm saying thank you. Like if it's you or someone else.
You make
else.
It sound like I screwed up.
No, there's another.
It's totally you that did it.
I'm not even trying to. It's one of those radio things where back in the day, if you fuck something up, you just kind of make it sound like there's a producer there, even though it's you that's doing it. Thank you. You know, Bill, appreciate that, you know. So, there you go. Let's go to our first story. It says, okay, this happened when I was 17 or so. Around 13 years ago, I was in a disagreement with my dad and went to stay with my girlfriend for a week or two until things back at my house calmed down a little. My girlfriend and her mom were staying with their grandpa. A little backstory on the house. It was built in the 50s into a hill. It was a two-story house with a house over the garage that had an old-style garage door that was made out of thick wood and hadn't been opened in probably a few decades, and no door into it from the side or from the outside. Inside the garage, it had old table saws, band saws, and a few tools, all caked in dust. It was used mainly for storage since the stairs down into the garage was very steep and not well lit. So her grandpa rarely went down there. When my girlfriend and I first pulled up to the house, we saw her grandpa loading up an RV and getting ready to leave for a cross-country adventure. He said he planned on being gone for the summer and to keep an eye on the place. He joked around and told my girlfriend not to let the ghost scare your boyfriend too much. He laughed and said, okay, I wouldn't. After we were walking towards the house from talking to her grandpa, I leaned in and said, a ghost, huh? She looked at me and said, yeah, there's a ghost. It's friendly, though. I bombarded her with questions for about 5 minutes, not learning anything about this ghost. So a little frustrated, thinking they were trying to scare me, I just let it go. Skip forward about two days. It was a Saturday morning. Her mom was at work. She worked from 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. sometimes later. My girlfriend was still sleeping, and I had a few hours until I had to go into work. I sat down on the couch after hooking up my Xbox and started playing a game. It was around 10 minutes after I sat down that the dishes next to the sink started rattling. The kitchen is directly behind the living room, about 30 feet away. The dishes rattled for a few seconds, enough to get my attention. I thought maybe a small earthquake in the area, it's been known to happen, and then went back to my game. My girlfriend woke up and got ready for work, and she left shortly after the dishes rattled. It was a little after 7 a.m. at this point, and I went back to playing games undisturbed for about 5 minutes. Then the sink turned on. It's a handle someone must pull up and turn on that had me very creeped out. But I did my best to explain it away, and maybe a pressure builds up somewhere, and maybe it does that frequently. Since no one was around to ask, I just went with that. Not even 10 minutes after that, a cupboard slammed shut from the kitchen. That was it. I was done. I was scared to even move from where I was at because I had to go through the kitchen to get out of the house. I grabbed my shoes, my jacket, and left to go into work early. Called my girlfriend at work to tell her what happened, and she laughed and said, I told you there was a ghost. I was a little upset with her response, like it was no big deal. Anyway, I got over it, went to work. When I got off, I picked up a movie from Redbox and went back to her grandpa's house. It was around 11 p.m. by the time I got there. Her mom had already left for work at this point, so it was just my girlfriend and myself at the house. I kind of hesitantly brought up the weird stuff that happened earlier, and I got the same response from earlier when an added, if you don't give it attention, it will leave you alone. At this point, I just shrugged it off and said, okay, I'll try. Here's where things get from bad to worse. We were halfway through our movie in her room with her bedroom door closed. She was completely passed out and snoring, wrapped in a cocoon of blankets. I was still watching the movie when I heard one of the table saws in the garage turn on. And for what seemed like forever, but it was maybe 30 seconds. Fear instantly hit me like a ton of bricks. I tried waking my girlfriend up, and of course she wasn't going to wake up. Heavy sleeper applies to her, so there, I was sitting on the bed with my knees tucked up to my chest, practically sitting on my girlfriend at this point, listening to this unfold. After the table saw turned off, it was eerily quiet for a few moments, when suddenly loud footsteps started slowly walking up the stairs from the garage to the second level where we were at. There were heavy footsteps like someone wearing steel-toed work boots. Every step hit the backboard of the stairs they were stepping on like it was almost kicking the backboards, which made a loud thud that was felt throughout the house. The pace at which it climbed the stairs was slow, maybe 30 to 45 seconds to get from bottom to the top with maybe 20 to 25 steps. Her room was next to the stairs, next to the garage, with a door separating the upstairs from the downstairs in the hallway. The footsteps came up the stairs and stopped at the door to the upstairs. Everything got quiet, like an unnatural quiet. I was sweating and just gripped by sheer terror at the point where the doorknob started to rattle. I passed out. That's never happened to me before or since. The next morning, my girlfriend was up and in the kitchen making coffee. When I woke up, I still had panic running through me. I begged her to come downstairs with me, and we went down to the garage, and I slowly made my way to the table saw, and it seemed that it wasn't plugged, and that the plug-in was covered in dust just like it hadn't been plugged in quite a while. To top it off, however, had the dust removed around where the blade would have spun, like it was turned on. I didn't stay there again. I went home. I didn't even go back over there to visit. We'd either go to my place or do something outdoors. After I told my girlfriend what happened again, it was no big deal. These things happened, was the answer that she gave.
Maybe she's just used to the things that happen in that house. You know, I'm wondering if it was like a residual, like every so often they hear the table saw come on and somebody walk up the stairs.
Somebody's just used to using it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't quite. What did you get about the blade? Did it sound like the blade had been used or that it had
it
not?
It sounded like the the dust had been like moved from, mm-hmm. you know, because those, they generate air when they go.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe the dust had blown a little bit when you turned it on.
So it did look like it had been running.
Yeah, but it was unplugged. So, and nobody had been out there and plugged it in or unplugged it.
So somebody got it. So it was a residual thing. There was something physically out there getting it running
mm-hmm.
without electricity.
Yeah.
But that's the part that, you know, I suppose if you just get used to it, you get used to it.
Yeah.
It's like some of the other stories from, you know, that we have, the one yesterday where it was talking about, and we're cool with the ghosts in the house. No big deal. And it's just them. They're normal. It's used to it.
Yeah.
They're used to it. That's probably what's going on. So I don't blame them for being freaked out, though. That would be, yeah. Especially when you have ghosts playing with power tools. That just doesn't seem like a safe mix.
Yeah. Well, at least they can't come after you with a table saw, you know? It's not like a chainsaw where they're mobile.
That would be an interesting one. It'd be creepy for a haunted house. You're walking around, and instead of the chainsaw, somebody's like really strong is carrying a table saw.
Uh-huh.
Around with them. It's like, that's not the right type of saw.
Yeah.
It's a bigger blade. That would be horrifying. 855-853-4802. Is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, I recently got into your show about a month ago and I'm hooked. Your show is great. I'm always looking forward to new episodes. I watch all the paranormal shows on TV and I'm just all around a lover of anything paranormal related. I'm also a big believer in the afterlife, though I haven't had many experiences with ghosts and spirits. I did have one that stands out. This experience happened about a year ago or so. I live in New Mexico. For those who don't know, New Mexico is a rich Spanish history going back several hundred years. I have Spanish roots, with my ancestors settling here generations and generations ago. As far back as the 1700s, way before it was even a state. This happened when I was very sick with pneumonia that progressed from bronchitis, which I had for at least 2 weeks before it progressed. I was off work due to being ill and resting that day. I ended up falling asleep. Now, I don't know if this was because I had taken cold medicine that made me tired or spiritual intervention, but I recall having sleep paralysis where I was half asleep and half awake. I remember seeing a Spanish couple in historical Spanish dress entering the room. The woman had black hair, which was secured in a bun with an embellished barrette or comb. She wore a traditional Spanish dress with red and green hues, and it looked worn. The man wore what seemed to be beige socks and a similar color shirt with a vest and what looked to be a tan hat. They both knelt beside the bed and prayed. I don't remember feeling any fear. I remember a comforting feeling. I must have fallen into a deeper sleep after that because I recall waking up entirely and feeling better and healed. They could have been spirits in the land because who knows what was okay, what was on this land centuries ago. Or they could have been spirit guides. However, I did feel a strong connection to them, so I have reason to believe that they could be distant ancestors, possibly distant grandparents. I'll forever remember that encounter. I don't know if I was just doped up on cold medicine, but that doesn't explain how I can go from sick as a dog to 100% better, especially since I wasn't taking any antibiotics. I hope you enjoyed my story. It made me realize that they're helpful and loving spirits, that your deceased ancestors do watch over you, and that we are never alone in our battles. Although you do have to remember that that is something that's been added to the Pfizer list of disclaimers of may cause visions of ancestors praying over you when taken regularly. It's just, it said so fast at the end of the ads, you don't catch it.
Nobody's gonna believe that.
It does. Like, may cause vomiting and diarrhea, may cause the ghost of ancestors to pray over you, may cause, I don't know, I'm out of...
I bet that's what it was, though. I bet since she felt a connection to those people that's, you know, somehow they were connected to her past.
Sure. That's interesting. I mean, it's one of those things where you talk about, like, watchful spirits, guardian angels, that sort of stuff. It's just that a lot of times I don't think you actually see them.
Right.
And this almost kind of touches on a thought that a lot of people have, that when in that state of sleep paralysis, that things that they see... Yes, they're not necessarily physically there in the sense that if we're awake, we're going to see them, but it's almost like you're almost seeing into another dimension,
mm-hmm.
that they are there in their own dimension, and you're kind of opening that window to see it.
Yeah.
So my analogy with sleep paralysis that I thought, oh, this will be great. Everyone will understand it, and no one understands what I'm talking about, because I don't know why more children didn't play with these color forms. Remember color forms? say I'm getting a strange look.
What are color forms?
Okay, color forms were basically, you would get, it'd be like a board, and then on the board would be a scene. And then on that scene, you could put the color forms, and they were kind of like a vinyl, like they weren't sticky, but they stuck to the board. Mm-hmm. You could put them on like a window too.
Okay.
They would kind of adhere and then peel right off.
They're like clings.
Clings, yeah. Uh-huh. But yeah, exactly. It's exactly what they are. And they were just tinier shapes. I had a Ghostbusters color form set. I had other ones too. I don't remember what they were, but they were fun. You could kind of make little scenes and mm-hmm. but that's how I kind of view sleep paralysis, almost like, okay, here's the scene that we're seeing on the board, but then the color forms are really not part of the scene, but they can come and go, and you can put them on there. And when you put them there, you're seeing them. When they're gone, they're gone. That's how I kind of view.
Well, wouldn't all ghosts be like that?
No, because I think there's some ghosts where you don't have to be in that state to see them. I think sometimes the only way you can see some of these things is in a state like that.
Okay.
So, okay. Color form state.
I had no idea they were called color forms.
I call them color forms. Maybe that's not even right. Maybe this is just like what my mom called them. And so I think that's the right way of saying it.
Okay.
I could be complete. I'm going to Google that color forms and see what comes up. Because maybe it's just like the colloquialism of that toy in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Color Forms. Now, Color Forms, that's the brand.
Okay.
Color Forms is a creative toy name for the simple shapes and forms cut out from colored vinyl sheeting that cling to a smooth backing surface without adhesives.
Okay.
And part of this complete breakfast. There's even a logo that I, when it, I came up, like, oh, I remember that. Color Forms brand. I wonder if it's still around. 1951 is when it came out. A Gumby one came out.
I think I had something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember playing with it that much. I got kind of bored with it.
You're calling me simple-minded?
No, just saying I got bored with mine. I don't think I had as many options as you did with your Ghostbusters version.
Sure. Put it nicely.
Uh-huh. Hey, how's it going? My name's Ozzy. I live in South Central Los Angeles, California. So my story, it took place in a 5-day part dream. So I had barely finished my first tour in Afghanistan when I came back. I was living in Germany at the time in the U.S. Army, and I fell asleep. It was a Monday night, fell asleep, and my hand, like, I could hear tapping on the wall, and it was just, it's like when you just roll your finger one after another on the wall, it's like they were just tapping, and I wake up, or I thought I woke up, and I look, and there's a hand. It's just the fingers were like twice the length of any normal fingers that I could see, and they were just claws. They were tapping the wall right above my foot, and then I woke up. So now it's Tuesday, and again, I hear the tapping. I fall asleep late at night, and I hear the tapping. Except this time, it's not just the hand; it's an entire forearm. And at this point, I figured that what I was looking at was not a human arm. And I woke up. Day 3. This demon-like creature is now showing half of his body, half of his face, half of his, you know, his chest. Half of his body is coming out from the side of the entrance of into my room. And the way it was, it was a door frame, an open door frame that led into my room. And then my bed ends at the door frame. So that's why his hand was above my toes. So at this point, he's tapping the wall. You can see his full arm, shoulders, half of his face, and his eyes are just bloodshot red. They weren't glowing or anything, just bloodshot red. And this sinister, grin on his face. And I woke up. Day 4. Nighttime again. I'm asleep. This time, he's at my feet. And I couldn't move. I couldn't yell. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything but just sit there in fear, propped against the wall on my bed. And I woke up to my alarm going off. The 5th day, I heard tapping again in my dream. I hear the tapping 3 times, tapping, 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 and I don't see him. So in my dream, I closed my eyes once again, and then I felt a pressure on my chest, and it's this creature that's on top of me now, and it starts clawing my chest wide open, blood going everywhere. And my roommate woke me up by slapping me a couple times. Apparently, he said that I was shaking in the bed and crying in my sleep. And once he slapped me a couple times, I woke up and my entire pillow was wet. My face was just covered in tears. And this happened at the age of 21. Fast forward 2 years, I'm now in Texas. I haven't seen this creature anymore, or demon, whatever it was. And completely different, you know, different base, different room set up. And again, my bed is a couple feet away from another doorway. This doorway led into my bathroom. I woke up early in the night, and there he was. Half of his body showing in the doorway. So ever since then, I have this fear of sleeping with any open doors. Doesn't matter what kind of door. It can be a closet door or a regular door. It has to be shut. First encounter was at 21. Second encounter was at 23. I am now 29. And I just had my 3rd encounter with the same demon creature thing 3 days ago. This time, I fell asleep on my couch watching a movie. I wake up, and it's the same creature or demon, whatever it is, but this time I didn't feel fear. And it reached its hand out to me, and it told me it wasn't here to hurt me. It was here to protect me. But I was just completely scared either way when I woke up. It's been nearly a decade that whatever this thing is has been after me. Every couple of years, it comes back. Now, a little bit of background, I guess I could say. My younger sister is constantly seeing ghosts, children, animals, shadows. Same thing with me. I see mostly shadows, and this might sound kind of crazy, but I hear voices of different people. And I have of just things that just don't make sense of people that I've never met before. Not in person. Well, I see like they're ghosts. So, my grandfather used to see things. My grandmother did as well. This came from both sides of the family. I have a cousin that played with the Ouija board, and he's had some screwed up luck his entire life, mostly. So I guess you could say this kind of stuff runs in a family, but the ones that are mostly affected are me and my younger sister. And, well, yeah, I wish I could describe this creature a little bit better, but the closest thing I can come to think about would be the demon from the movie Insidious. That's the closest I can come to it. And just keep in mind, this was before the Insidious movie came out. So that's my story. I definitely have a lot more to tell. So I would definitely be calling back. It's great to finally find somebody, you know, a group of people that encountered similar things. So a lot of these things I've had to keep to myself and, well, just discuss them with my sister, and that's really it. But, yeah, thanks for listening, and if you guys use my message, I guess I'll find out when I catch up, as I just started. Thank you.
The only thing I wonder is if there's a common link between the three periods of time where this thing has shown up, you know, as far as his state of being. Like, is he nervous about getting ready to go, you know, on a tour with, you know, the army? Or is he upset about something else? You know, what is his state as far as why is this coming to him at those particular times?
Like, is there something triggering it? Is what you're...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I could totally see that. I think it's definitely something genetic, you know, that because the way his family has seen it and has had experiences as well. You know, I think when you have something that's genetic, even though you may have, you know, loved ones share their experiences with you, I think everybody kind of interprets things their own way as well, especially with this stuff where it's like, oh, okay, you guys see ghosts. And then boom, you start having it, you know, on a regular basis. It may not be what you had expected it to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, there's a lot of times family members think, oh, well, you know, like his case, my sister sees ghosts all the time. I don't really see that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very sensitive in a different way. Just because you don't see it the same way a family member does, doesn't mean you didn't inherit that sensitivity as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's one of those, it's something I don't think you can necessarily get away from either if you wanted to.
Yeah.
It's more so understanding what it is or what's going on around you and how to interpret it. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. Do definitely appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Keep us on the air. Get all the bonus episodes of the show and more right there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.